Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but when you read headlines about horrible terrorist attacks in San Bernardino, attacks which murdered in cold blood 14 innocent people and wounded many, many more, and you read other headlines from New York saying that prayer won't help, that only the government can help with gun control, you wonder where God is. Why does a loving God allow such suffering? Where is God when people suffer? Where is God when people do evil things? Well, my friend, I have a better question. Where is man when people suffer? Where is woman? Where are people when people suffer? God gave us his commands. They actually had nothing to do with gun control, but they did tell us how God wants us to respond to cold-blooded murder. In fact, his commands include, thou shalt not kill, meaning thou shalt not murder. That was the word in Hebrew. It was not an admonition against self-defense or even against capital punishment, but murder, premeditated murder, and he also spoke against stealing. Racism, poverty, all the problems we have going on in our world, God spoke against. God commands us to be against all these things. When I see evil in this world, it doesn't tell me that God doesn't exist. It tells me that God knew what he was talking about when he issued his commands. God gave us free will. He created this world and the inhabitants of this world for good, not for evil. But evil is not a substance that exists in a test tube. When people say, well, why did God create evil? God did not create evil. Evil is not a thing. Evil is a choice emanating from human personality and free will. Henry Ford invented the automobile, or at least was among the first to invent the automobile. Do we blame Henry Ford every time there's an automobile accident? And so I ask again, when we see evil, where is man? Where is man when he sits back and refuses to confront evil? When he buries his head in the sand? Where are our leaders? Where is our president? Our president who responded to the attack in Paris by talking smugly about the global warming conference, who says, we're really sticking it to the terrorists by doubling down about global warming. Yeah, that made them shake in their boots. Oh my God, Obama and his European friends are concerned about global warming. Well, buddy, the attack is off. Put away the bombs. Obama even suggested that lack of concern for global warming is one of the causes of terrorism. You can't make this stuff up. Interestingly enough, the butcher in San Bernardino worked for an environmental protection agency. Evidently, his job didn't inspire him quite enough. That did not stop him from going on a jihad. But our president didn't comment on jihad after San Bernardino any more than he commented on it after Paris. Instead, he spoke about gun control and about the need to work in a bipartisan way. Bipartisan, incidentally, means that the Republicans should do whatever he wants. Otherwise, he will sign another one of those fun executive orders. Obama seems to think that the second branch of the government, the legislative branch, exists only for the purpose of having first refusal of his policies. He doesn't care about the purpose of Congress as expressed in the Constitution any more than he cares about the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which, if truly obeyed, by the way, would do away with gun-free zones that highlight in neon lights. This way, monsters, the pickings are easy. And of course, on the heels of Obama's apparent contempt for the Second Amendment, his attorney general has given a speech which more or less tells us she plans to ignore the First Amendment. You know, the one about freedom of speech? She plans to prosecute anyone who speaks out against Islam if the speech provokes violence. Well, who makes that call? Some wacko can commit a crime and then claim he was inspired by a speech he heard or an article he read. Is that the way it works? Well, what about when ISIS claims to get its cues from the Quran? Do we blame the Quran? Do we blame people who recite the Quran? No, silly. We blame those who point out that the terrorists are reading from the Quran. Does Christianity get the same protection? Hardly. When a county clerk goes to jail for standing by her convictions, and when Christians are slandered in the media and accused of hate simply for having the audacity to say that they believe marriage is a union between a man and a woman. Will those who accuse Christians of being hateful get prosecuted by our attorney general? Don't hold your breath. By the way, did you know that homosexuals are executed in countries like Saudi Arabia, our ally Iran, our new ally Mauritania, Sudan, Somalia, Yemen, and in Palestine, gays have been murdered by police and unruly mobs. Gays arrested for their crime have been beaten, thrown in prison, made to submerge their heads in excrement. Aren't you just enthusiastically counting the days until the Palestinians have their own country? Boy, that'll bring peace to the Middle East for sure. Meanwhile, Egypt supposedly has legal safeguards in place, but gays in Egypt also get persecuted. And when the Taliban ran Afghanistan, they're getting positioned to run it again, when they ran it completely, they systematically eliminated homosexuals like a well-oiled machine, not to mention the inhumane things they did to women who wanted rights. One would think this religion would be viewed as the PC movement's greatest nightmare. But in an ironic twist of fate, Islam managed to become a politically correct religion, and it took 9/11 to make it happen. After slitting the throats of stewardesses, ramming planes into buildings, and then in the months that followed, and yeah, it happened way back then even, beheading people while chanting to Allah and then posting the whole thing on the internet where all could share in the joy, somehow Islam became known as the religion of peace, and woe to any who say otherwise. Now there are peaceful Muslims. There are, but they need to speak up more. They need to make a better case. A better case, incidentally, is not whining to the attorney general about people who criticize their religion. How interesting that in the world today, hate speech is defined primarily with two protected people groups. First, it's considered hate speech to criticize same-sex relationships. Second, it's considered hate speech to criticize a religion whose dominated countries kill or jail those in same-sex relationships. Gotta see the irony. Well, the real God loves everybody. Gay or straight, Christian or Muslim, Jew or Gentile, believer or agnostic or atheist. He doesn't approve of all our actions. He does tell us what is sin and what is not sin, but he loves everybody. And he is willing to forgive anybody who asks forgiveness, that is, asks forgiveness, turns from sin, and admits that they need the help of God's Spirit to turn from sin. So let's continue to celebrate the real God during this Christmas season with a very unusual carol and one of the oldest carols ever written, the Cherry Tree Carol.
Joseph was an old man, an old man was he, when he wedded Virgin Mary in the land of Galilee, when he wedded Virgin Mary in the land of Galilee. Joseph and Mary walked through an orchard green, where were berries and cherries as thick as my
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
A special feature exclusive to the Bob Siegel Show, a new lobby group with a new list of complaints. And you thought you'd heard everything. Well, who asked you to think? What is the group this time? Wolves. Yes, you heard me correcting. Wolves. And acting as a spokesman, Witherford B. Wolf.
Witherford B. Wolf, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
I understand you're concerned about the way wolves are portrayed today in the media.
Yes, indeed. That Disney's been exploiting us for years. And he's not the only one. Wolves are portrayed very stereotypically in fairy tales. And for what reason? I eat the gingerbread man? So what? Who wouldn't eat a gingerbread man? And that Red Riding Hood story where a wolf supposedly dressed up like a grandmother and attacked some kid, that was not only a smear against wolves, but cross-dressers as well. Where's the tolerance? Where's the sensitivity?
Are you sure we never met before?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing you in the pack. Why do you ask?
Well, you sound an awfully lot like two other liberals I interviewed recently, Vinny the Virus and Tamar the Taskmaster.
Maybe voices of reason always sound the same.
Or maybe all liberals rehearse the same talking points. Are you really being persecuted, or are you the aggressor? You wolves seem pretty aggressive to me.
There may be a few bad apples in the barrel, but most wolves are peaceful and loving. In fact, the very word wolf means peace.
What? The word wolf means peace? Where did you get that information from?
You're making my whole point. That kind of suspicion promotes wolfophobia.
You're changing the subject. Don't actions speak louder than words? Would the three pigs describe you as peaceful and loving?
Oh, I love pigs, especially with applesauce.
Then you did destroy those pigs.
Hey, let's be clear. One out of three pigs was still alive at the end of the story.
But didn't you sell them some faulty real estate? A house made of straw? A house made of twigs?
Look, lady, it's like I told the Better Business Bureau. A homeowner's insurance was sold to both of them. They had flood, fire, and earthquake protection.
Yes, but if I understand correctly, three potential disasters were conspicuously omitted from the homeowner's policy. Let's see, I have it down here in writing. Here it is. The policy did not cover huffing or puffing or blowing the house down.
Let me be perfectly clear. I was not responsible for those houses falling.
Well, then, who was responsible?
How about George Bush?
Oh, you've got to be kidding. George Bush is responsible even for this?
Well, now you're talking. Everybody knows that Bush administration did a secret demolition at those houses. This was for the purpose of spreading propaganda about wolves.
Okay. However the houses came down, you still went inside afterwards and ate the pigs.
Well, yeah, sure, if you're going to bring that up.
So then you do admit of being an aggressive threat to world peace.
Not at all. You need to remember, incidents like this are never done in a vacuum. We all act out when world events threaten our lives.
And what world events justify the eating of two pigs?
Well, for starters, how about Israel's illegal occupation of Palestine?
What on earth does that have to do with eating pigs?
Jews don't like people eating pigs. So I ate pigs as an act of protest.
Well, thank you for your time, Mr. Wolf. Now, please behave yourself in the future. No more making bacon.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480-539, W&S Electric.
Christmas is right around the corner, and Bob Siegel's new novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, is available. What better gift can parents or grandparents offer to their children than a story which promotes Judeo-Christian values? But don't look for anybody standing on a soapbox. Instead, the message is presented through an exciting, humorous, entertaining fantasy adventure with a talking cat and a magic ornament that grants wishes, but only at the expense of causing a lot of trouble. By the way, adults have loved this book as much as kids, so it will actually make a great Christmas gift for anyone you know. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. That beautiful song that you heard a couple of breaks ago, right after my monologue, was sung by the famous Judy Collins, the Cherry Tree Carol. It's one of the oldest carols ever written. And it's kind of interesting, kind of apocryphal. Obviously, the Bible doesn't have any story about the voice of baby Jesus talking to his mother or doing a miracle. Then still beautiful music, though, and I love the voice of Judy Collins. But interestingly enough, during the commercial break, we did get a phone call. One of our listeners had a question, not so much about the song, but a biblical question which the song inspired. And he asked me over the phone if the resurrected Jesus ever appeared to Mary. Well, he did, because we're told that Jesus appeared to all of his followers. And we read about it right at the beginning of the book of Acts. And spent some time with them for 40 days and 40 nights, and then descended from the Mount of Olives. And then they all went back to the upper room together. And they do mention that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was included in that number. So thank you for calling in, my friend. That was an excellent question. Well, we've got other questions and comments that we have gotten over the internet. It's hard to keep up with all the terror attacks, isn't it? On last week's show, I was talking about Paris. And this is before the San Bernardino thing happened. I was reading some responses to what I said on the radio and what I wrote about in my column. And I have some more comments, and they're technically regarding last week's thoughts, but I guess I don't need to tell you that, unfortunately, they're more relevant than ever this week. Jimmy didn't like the fact that I mentioned that Islam's actually a violent religion, and you can read about that in the Quran. Here's what he says. A conservative talk show host pretending to be the true and correct interpreter of Islam's holy book. Super helpful. Jimmy, who do I have to be? Who does anybody have to be before they feel they have a right to comment on what's going on in the world? Who does a person have to be before they read the Quran and see for themselves what it says? I've actually read the Quran, word for word, cover to cover. Have you? Apparently not. There is no interpretation. It speaks for itself. I have also interviewed Arabic scholars over the air. I have debated Muslims over the air. Respectful debates, but debates. In any event, Jimmy, if you feel that being a conservative talk show host disqualifies me from discussing certain subjects while you yourself have a right to pop off about the subject, you are welcome to call me sometime and discuss this over the air. I guess that's all for now, Jimmy. Take care. Speaking of discussing things over the air, I read some comments from our friend last week who calls himself by a nickname, Hypocrisy Questioned. We've read many things from him. And last week, he responded to some things I said. I responded his comments. He listened to the show, and now he sent me a response to my response to his response. He says, Bob, I did take the time to listen to your podcast. Thank you for posting a link. You mostly said what we shouldn't do, but you did. He had asked, he said, supposing it's true, everything you said about Islam, he says, what should we do about it? So that's what we're talking about here. He said, you mostly said what we shouldn't do, but you did list one thing we should do, and I quote, wage war against radical Islam or any country that harbors radical Islamic terrorists. Are you suggesting that we should begin an all-out war against Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Yemen, Syria, and Afghanistan? I'm sure there are others. He's actually doing a very good job of listing the countries that do harbor those terrorists. Yes, my friend, as a matter of fact, I am, and yes, you're right, there are others, even those seeking state status, such as the Palestinian Authority, which harbors Hamas and does not even recognize Israel's right to exist. Now, I will say this, a country can put themselves in a state of war without immediately attacking. I suspect that if America, with any of those countries, withdrew all its financial aid, we might never need to go to war with any of them. And if we had a president who wouldn't put strangleholds on pipelines and drillings in America, we would be less in need of negotiating with alleged friends like the Saudis, who don't allow churches, throw you in jail for believing in the Bible, don't allow women to drive in their country, and who most of the 9/11 terrorists originated from, including Osama bin Laden himself. So there are other ways to wage war, other alternatives to immediate boots on the ground. But again, my friend, the terrorists have declared war on us, whether we declare war or not. If we don't do something about the countries that shelter them, what are we going to do? I put the question back to you. What are we going to do? Richard has some ideas. Richard says the one thing we should do is to allow no further Muslim immigration into the U.S. There are many worthy and harmless people around the world longing to come to our country. Let's limit those immigration slots to people who will help America while not presenting a possible terrorist threat to our country. Well, Richard, I appreciate where you're coming from. I wouldn't go so far as to say let's not let any Muslims into the country at all. But I do think we should be a little more careful about who we're letting in. Elliot, on the other hand, responded to Richard's comment, and Elliot says this. We have about 3 million self-identified Muslims in America and had around 60 attacks since 1970. That's a fraction of a fraction of a percent that has engaged in attacks on our soil. These attacks are horrific and sensationalized by the media. That's what terrorism is trying to do. They want us to be more hostile to our native Muslims so our country and government will drive them to radicalization. It's cheaper than recruiting for them by having us do their work. You know, that sounds so clever. Not so much when we unpack it. First of all, Elliot, whatever the percentage happens to be, the percentage is of little comfort to the family of an innocent American who was butchered by pure evil. Next, Elliot, from 1970 to the year 2009, we had presidents who, for the most part, and some I liked better than others, some I liked better than others, but from 1970 to 2009, we had presidents who took it seriously when Americans were attacked, who were more interested in punishing the aggressors and less interested in punishing Americans who criticized the ideology of the aggressors. Our current president's unwillingness to call the problem by its true name, radical Islam, and instead refer to attacks like these as workplace violence, even when a man at a military base in Fort Hood shouting Allah Akbar guns down 13 people, well, that doesn't help the problem. It makes the problem worse. In fact, lately, every time the president speaks about gun control, global warming, anything but the truth about the terrorists, it seems the terrorists are even more emboldened. Now, I know you wrote your comment before the attack in San Bernardino, but given our president's response to that attack, doubling down about gun control, seeking an opportunity to once again blame Republicans for not working with him to eventually abolish the Second Amendment, having his attorney general threaten to prosecute those who dare to use their freedom of speech guaranteed in the First Amendment, I would say the percentage is going up, Elliot. By the way, Elliot, pointing out what the Quran teaches is not being hostile to Muslims. It's merely pointing out what the Quran teaches. We do not radicalize Muslims. They radicalize themselves because they are reading their own Quran. If we wanted to apply your logic, the same logic as our president, incidentally, who gives sanctimonious lectures about how criticizing Islam is a great recruiting tool for ISIS, if we wanted to apply that logic, it would mean that innocent, peace-loving Muslims, in an attempt to defend the false accusation that their religion is violent, would decide to turn to violence. Yeah, that makes great sense. How dare you call us violent? Violent, are we? Well, maybe we'll kill you for saying such a thing. That'll teach you. Makes no sense, Elliot. None whatsoever. The defense of Islam today can be summed up in just a couple of sentences. Honestly, we're really a very peaceful religion. We can see where it may not always look that way. Chris says, let's get to the sick bottom line of this. Obama wants Syrian refugees coming here because he believes the majority of which will vote Democrat. I'd imagine that the majority of these refugees don't want to leave their ancestral homeland and come to a nation that will greet them with suspicion, even among our fellow Muslim Americans. He would displace hundreds of thousands of people, allow many to continue to die of decapitation, crucifixion, and being burned alive because he puts more priority on global warming. God help us if Hillary wins and continues that agenda. Well said, my friend, or God help us if Obama refuses to step down in 2016 for declaring martial law. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back. Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. I want to thank the many who came to my book signing on Friday night for the Dangerous Christmas Ornament. We had a great turnout, sold many books, and had fun questions during the author Q&A. If you missed this event, be of good cheer. In fact, be of good Christmas cheer. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament can still be purchased at See Christ Books in Lemon Grove and also La Mesa Christian Bookstore. Skyline Church, they have a very nice combination bookstore and coffee shop. For those of you who do not live in the San Diego area, who listen to us on the internet, the book can be found online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or Create Space. Now, if you aren't in enough of the Christmas spirit to read this Christmas story, that's okay. That's okay. Just don't be surprised if you're visited by three spirits tonight. But I have better visitors than spirits with me right now. Lori Lucas. Yeah, great visitor.
This isn't a Star Wars story.
Lori George Lewis. George Lucas. Lori Lewis, I meant to say, is a local artist and singer and a famous singer in her own right. She's been in so many groups, I can't keep up with all of them. She sang with the Mamas and the Papas, the Divas, the Red Hot Flashes. What was that called?
The, the Buckinghams, Gary Puckett. I just couldn't hold a job.
You know, they say if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
That's right.
I have a saying of my own. If you had a favorite singing group and Lori Lewis wasn't in it, the group didn't exist. But her best credential is she's my good friend. And Lori Lewis joins us today with another guest who has also been on her show before. She was one of those other divas, but I will let Lori reintroduce her friend for us.
I will do that. Merry Christmas. It's great to be here as your occasional co-host of the Bob Siegel.
Occasional as Haley's Comet visits, I'd like to say.
I know, and I'm sorry. We'll make a play date.
You say that every time you come on, and then 2 years later when you come on again, you say it again.
But I did hear that you are officially off the market. Sorry, ladies. He's been taken by the beautiful Dana, who's in the studio audience this day.
And it's such a pity that we're on the radio because they can't see Dana's beauty and brilliance.
I know, because you should see them because they're both wearing red shirts and black pants. They're dressed in style.
Hey, when I go on the radio, I comb my hair and dress my best.
Well, please don't tell people about my bunny pajamas and my
you know, I hear they're allowing nudity on the radio soon.
Hey,
it's a disgrace. It's just a disgrace. What's our country turning into?
Oh, well, anyway, it is good to be here.
It's good to be back. To see you too.
And I brought
okay, see? I've been vindicated for the Lucas remark by your schlepped remark.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I brought my dearest best BFF friend, Ronnie Lee. And for those of you who
Now, Ronnie, is she your best friend too? Or are you just her best friend? I'll bet you have other best friends.
I was told to agree with everything.
I'll bet you have other friends that are even more bestest than she is.
I can't really say right now.
She'll tell you later.
You guys can work it.
I am maxed out on Facebook, so that must mean something.
You know, Bob, you are a troublemaker. And this is going to lead to an argument on the way home.
I was hoping it would lead to an argument on the air because that makes good radio.
I know. Anyway, the one and only Ronnie Lee, who, by the way, just recently received her gold record.
Oh, yes.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
I was only 37 years in the making.
Well, you know, Ronnie was in a group called
Don't
Venus.
You have to just be hitting national charts
Ronnie was in a group called Venus and the Razor Blades and with the Kim Fowley group. You know, all the girl groups that
teenage
he put together,
girls.
All those teenage girls, Runaways, whatnot. And the Runaways recorded one of her songs, I Want to Be Where the Boys Are. And finally, after all of these years, Ronnie got her gold record. I mean, the gold record came out many years ago, but it's finally hanging on her wall.
Well, that's it helped a lot impressive. When it came out. Their songs, you know, they sort of had a resurgence. Guardians of the Galaxy did some Runaway stuff. And then I also had a song out in their movie. So it never hurts to write.
So the song
write.
That they played in the movie, Guardians of the Galaxy, was?
The Runaways movie. The Runaways movie was mine. Then Cherry Bomb was also a co-writer of ours. So in the Guardians of the Galaxy, that was a different song than my gold album. But mine came from Live in Japan with the Runaways.
You know, this is pretty impressive, Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should start becoming my very occasional co-host instead of Lori Lewis.
Well, I am quite dependable.
Taking off her mic and breaking.
No, she's actually cutting the cord on my headphone.
Somebody, please help me.
We better watch our backs on the elevator on our way out.
Watch your back,
Laura. You know how much I love you.
I know.
I'm just. How could I ever replace you?
Well, I don't know.
You're never on anyway. So I'll be
here tomorrow at 2.
How can I ever replace you? If you're never here, you can't be replaced.
Oh well, we came here for a purpose and a reason, and I'm so glad you had us on last.
We will get to it eventually.
Oh, we will.
Yes,
I hope so.
Well, eventually meaning right now.
Okay. Because I want to talk about something that's kind of important, and that is treasure bags for troops. I know. And you're probably wondering, what is that?
Hard to say something important after that.
I know. I know. But you know that there are close to 95,000 troops that live stationed here in San Diego County.
And are these mostly naval? Because we're a Navy town?
Well, you know, we have a lot of different, you know, we have Camp Pendleton. And we're talking about the county, all over our county. But
so are you doing like these USO kind of shows?
No, not yet. Well, kind of a little bit.
We do a mini USO, yes.
We're
going to
kind of tell you a little bit about
that. We entertain our troops.
We do. Yep. But, you know, the average household income in San Diego is about $60,000. I don't know. It's not me and it's not Ronnie for sure, but somebody.
Talking average.
And yeah, but the average household income for the military family is only about $42,000. And it's hard to imagine how our troops can actually afford to live here and feed our families. And on top of that, just the stress of having someone that they love be deployed, their families. And, you know, Christmas is here and all the holidays that come by. And anyway, treasure bags for troops. They're partnering with Vons. Hello, Vons. You're getting a little plug here.
Well, they're the last grocery store in town, so I don't know if they need one.
And so to give those families 3 to 4 days worth of groceries for free, and the contents for each bag cost about $35, but more important, it shows our troops that we care to help the families that they love and that are fighting for our country. So as a personal response to the situation for our city, my dear friend Ronnie Lee and I, we kind of got together and... Ronnie Lee, a fellow musician in San Diego, a great guitarist, as I said, she has been playing around town for a long time, and she's amazing, have gathered together many local San Diego artists. They will be presenting Ronnie Lee Rocks Christmas. And this is something we've done like 3 times already. Mm-hmm. Every year we have a little...
So it's presented by Ronnie Lee, but there's many of you artists that are going to...
We're all supporting, of course, but we call this Ronnie Lee Rocks Christmas because this is Ronnie Lee's vision. It's her vision. And so the proceeds this year, we have chosen...
Oh, so you do this every year?
Every year.
Benefit. It's a benefit concert. So I have a record label.
And it's a benefit for different beneficiaries each year?
Yes.
I have a small record label in town called Play Like a Girl Records.
So you rock Christmas every year?
Every year we rock Christmas.
Who was the recipient last year?
Last year was San Diego Foster Children.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, last 2 years were San Diego Foster Children.
These are really worthy causes. Mm-hmm.
It's really wonderful.
Maybe if we stopped paying Sacramento, all the money could go to the kids and the foster parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always try to pick very local organizations because it's great to help international organizations and big people, but we're a small organization helping basically our community.
I think that's a better way to do it, and people will respond more to that because it's more personal, and they may know some of those people personally.
It's really fun, and our theme this year, we actually have a theme this year. It's a Wonderful Life. And Ronnie, why don't you tell them a little bit about where it is?
You're not thinking Mr. Potter's going to donate anything, are you?
Actually, it's going to be a very, very... Well, I love the movie, so I get to pick the theme every year since
Christmas
it is Ronnie.
Movies ever
made. By the way, if you visit us at RonnieLeeRocksChristmas.com, you can find out a lot more information
That's RonnieLeeRocksChristmas.com.
Okay. Now, the organization that we're teaming up with this year is the San Diego Christian Servicemen. That organization has been together since, I don't know, Lori, you're the information getter, but I believe it's been since the teens or the 20s.
Yeah.
A very long time.
Long time.
And a friend of ours, Joey Zovich, who's on the board, Lori and I have played every month. Christian servicemen have this treasure bag and they pass out food to the troops. It's the last Saturday of every month because what they're trying to do is make up for that gap of food or necessities that when you get to the end of the month, a lot of times when you're on a government check, you don't always make it to the end.
Yeah.
So they purposefully, Joey, as the new director, fairly new director, one of his newest programs in the last few years has been this treasure bag for the troops because he was trying to make a real difference for the families of the deployed men and women in the service community that's very local. So we literally drive to Sierra Mesa. We park our trucks and we unload our gear, very minimal amounts at the last Saturday of the month when we can. Different musicians do it at different times. Lori did it in November. Lori and I together will do it in December 19th. And they hand out food bags. of course, during the holiday season, everybody's more aware and more people come to get more food bags. And every month they have to turn people away.
It's very sad.
The Vons trucks pull up. It's really awesome. It's very hard. I mean, you get choked up every time you're there. You can't help it. Oh, but it's really, it's not a somber time. They get together. That it's a park situation. They bring their kids. Joey speaks to everyone. He talks to them about, Christianity and hope and life and he gives that talk. We sing. We have a great time. But at the end of the day, when the trucks pull up and the food's doled out, a lot of times there isn't enough. So for a bag of food, and this is good food, we're not talking about canned meat and government cheese. We're talking about Vons comes up and puts a decent bag of food together for people that need it, and it's about $35 a bag.
That is wonderful. I can't imagine a more underpaid profession.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just abominable that they don't get more money and are not better taken care of. Okay, hold with me over the break, and we will be right back with Ronnie Lee and Lori Lewis. This is Bob Siegel. Look, I admit it, I'm not tech savvy at all, but at least I'm savvy enough to know how to keep technology working for me. Even as a writer and radio talk show host, two careers far more related to the arts and the sciences, I am on my computer all day long. That means I need a computer that behaves itself. So when I do encounter problems, I call BitLogic. BitLogic can repair your personal computer. They also offer IT consulting for your small business. Is your computer doing something weird that you couldn't even begin to describe, let alone fix? Or maybe you're looking ahead, wanting to keep your small business systems running smoothly. BitLogic can help. Find them online at bitlogicit.com or call them at 619-333-6873. That's bitlogicit.com or 619-333-6873. Right now, mention the Bob Siegel Show and receive a 10% discount off any service. Got complex problems? BitLogic has simple solutions. How's that for making the obvious obvious?
What better review of a book than to check with the customers themselves? Here is a recent customer review of Bob Siegel's fantasy novel, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Superior. As a middle school teacher, I am a prolific reader of juvenile fiction and an even tougher critic of the genre. With that said, I experienced sheer delight in reading the page-turner, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament by Bob Siegel. Mike, the sixth grade protagonist in the story, is a well-drawn character with all the weaknesses and strengths of a 12-year-old. Mike's e-ticket adventure engages the reader with his shenanigans of making his veggies disappear, cat talk, and creating a twin who doubles for him. Not only that, Bob Siegel skillfully weaves a subtle moral message with the metaphoric thread, which encourages a kid to be the best version of himself, all the while addressing the various angst of preteens. Finally, I was captivated to the last page, but disappointed when the Christmas ride of the magical ornament came to a satisfying conclusion. I can't wait for the sequel. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
I think we've let Lori cough into the mic long enough. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show with Lori Lewis and Ronnie Lee, and they are doing a special benefit engagement for the troops Go ahead and continue telling us more about the Christian Servicemen Center.
Speaking of the dangerous Christmas ornament, the sequel should be The Dangerous Christmas Tree.
Oh, no, not The Dangerous Easter Egg.
Oh, that would be good.
Actually,
yeah.
The sequel's called Inside the Castle in the Glass.
I know that.
And it's already been written.
I did see that.
And it's going to soon
and
be
published.
And that's
very cool, being a writer and so brilliantly. All your skits have always been so brilliant, and you're such a brilliant person.
Well, I couldn't quite hear all that. Brilliant. Could you say that a little louder?
Yes. The operative word, brilliant. Okay, stop. Yes, I have a dangerous Christmas tree in my house. We just got a kitten. And the kitten loves the Christmas tree.
Yeah, it's more like a dangerous kitten than the tree is in danger.
I think so, maybe. All right, well, getting back to what we were talking about. We're back. I'm here with my friend Ronnie Lee. And, you know, everybody here at the Bob Siegel Show knows me as Lori Lewis. But if you Google me, and I think it is legal to Google people these days, it's
Lori
B.B. Lewis. That's right. And you can find all kinds of information.
Or if you really know her, you just call her BB Baby.
It's very true. That's really why I am Lori BB, because everyone knew me as BB Baby, and that is true.
Is there a song about that? BB Baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Another present for me.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, it is such a wonderful life, and that is our theme.
And you were telling us it's based on It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
So how does the movie It's a Wonderful Life weave in and out
of your concert?
Favorite
Christmas movie. I get to pick it.
Oh, it's
so there you go.
Movie.
It's
you know
just
how that
the
goes.
Vibe, the music. We're going to have the Sweethearts of Swing. By the way, this event is going to be next Sunday evening at Tio Leo's on Napa Street.
5 o'clock it starts.
At 5 o'clock. And you can get tickets in advance at Ronnie Lee.
5 o'clock. Oh, what Christmas. A shame that it's going to have to end at 6 so that they can listen to the Bob Siegel
show.
We'll
just
darn.
Put it right on. We'll just blast it on through the speakers.
Never mind my show. Go do it for the troops.
Yes.
The troops.
But we'll be at 5302 Napa Street in San Diego. $17 tickets in advance. At RonnieLeeGroup.com or $20 at the door.
And the proceeds go to the
troops. The proceeds will go to the troops.
So you two are keeping it? This is you guys doing it out of the benefit of your love?
There are always costs put in.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
No,
actually, I'll tell you what comes along with it.
But the money is not what's motivating.
Yes.
It's your love
For the most part, all the musicians are playing out there. And Elena Blair, who's manager's in the studio, she's in our studio audience tonight.
Say hello,
she's
Monica.
An amazing country artist. She's going to be there. Sweethearts of Swing, mm-hmm. who is a tribute band to the Andrews Sisters, which are phenomenal. Yeah. And we're actually going to give out prizes to who dressed mostly like a character in the movie.
Oh,
and we're going to have a little contest. If you know any trivia about It's a Wonderful Life, which we all do, I think someone's coming as Potter.
Yes.
And,
now it would be funny if the guy coming as Potter gives the most money.
I know. There you go. That would be nice.
That would be nice.
And of course, Ronnie Lee will be playing
set.
And a very special guest we have is Lester Abrams. If you don't know who that is, he's a songwriter, musician, producer, and he co-wrote the song Minute by Minute with Michael McDonald, as well as playing artists like B.B. King, Stevie Wonder, Peebo Bryson. He has done so much in the music industry, and actually, Ronnie and I did my
first
Christmas
tea. We're just
Christmas
so surrounded by talent in this room. You can just squeeze the talent, see it bubble out.
Alicia Previn, Andre Previn's daughter, Alicia Previn will be playing violin, so she'll be there.
Andre Previn, who wrote some of the music for Paint Your Wagons?
Andre Previn.
When Lerner Lowe died, and then he wrote the extra songs for the film version of Paint Your Wagons?
Well, his daughter is a prodigy. She's amazing, and she's also one of my BFFs. I don't just have one BFF, okay?
How much of a BFF is she?
Well,
In the scale of BFFs, like, say I'm like here, like where is she?
She's then the same.
Oh, okay.
You know, because BFF
that.
Is, yeah. Because
we should take a number about
there's
like,
no,
where
like,
we're
like
at.
Number like, one or number two.
Okay.
Just like if I'm with you, you're number one.
Okay, gotcha. Just
and then if I'm with Alicia, you're number two. And
that's right.
That's how it goes.
Kind of whoever is right around you. But before we not get a chance to do this, I want to mention the other artists. So
yes.
We have Alexis Ames, who's coming from Seattle, excellent singer from Seattle, that's coming down just to do the event, flying in for the day, and because it means so much to her. Christine Gilardi, who does shows with us every year, and she's an amazing guitarist, vocalist.
Wonderful.
Howard Bennett, another phenomenal vocalist in town. Josie Day, another great artist who plays all over town. Lori, of course. Sharon Shoemaker, one of the queen divas of the universe. one of the three. And let me tell you something, a special guest, yes, Lauren Smith, as Santa this year. Lauren is a star right now, as we speak, yes, on a reality TV show called Santa's in the Barn.
And we've been watching.
It's a reality show.
It is.
And it's on True TV, and I'm just plugging that for some reason.
So
but
if
it's
you don't believe in Santa Claus.
I saw him at CVS Pharmacy yesterday. I was like, okay,
you won't believe
Santa's
in Santa anymore.
So
you, after
skeptic,
you, see this show.
You skeptics who don't believe in Santa Claus, if he's not real, how can he possibly be on a reality
show?
That's all you can say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're going to prove who the real one is on that show. There's it's hysterical. And I saw him on TV the other night and I went, that's our Santa that'll be there. So yes, he's coming. And he does a lot of wonderful things for the troops too. So he volunteered his time. And believe me, he's not a cheap Santa. So, but he's coming by.
Not a cheap Santa.
Not a cheap Santa.
I'm sure Mrs. Claus is just delighted to hear that.
His lovely wife, Donna, is going to be at his side, I'm sure. And he's coming by just on his own.
Okay, now Donna again is his lovely wife. It's not one of his little helpers.
No, yeah, well, right. I don't know exactly how he would categorize her, but she is married to him.
Better not get Santa in trouble here. The little kids won't get anything for Christmas.
Oh,
true.
Boy.
She does have little pointy ears, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
And we can't forget Catherine Beek.
Catherine Beeks is hosting. She does an internet show here and with a lot of local live musicians. Well, the ones that are alive. And she's amazing, too. So we have a great show this Sunday on the 13th at Teal Leo's at 5 o'clock. So come by and help support the troops.
Ronnie Lee and Lori Lewis,
you're both
wonderful. All kidding aside, thank you so much for being here. I hope everybody will go out and support this. And even if people can't come to their concert, they could still do something to support
you
the troops.
You can go to Ronnie Lee Rocks Christmas and you can donate.
Yes.
If you can't make it.
Every ticket sales goes to the organization. So even if you donate and just leave us a little note, tell us how much you care about the troops, we'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Too.
God bless both of you and your
Thank
endeavor.
You.
We'll see you next
God
week,
bless
everybody.
You. Thank you.
Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.